Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World, Hotel Mars episode, and Dr. Space himself, David Livingston, is here of The Space Show, my colleague and co-pilot, and we're headed to the asteroid Bennu, a carbonaceous asteroid. That's significant. And we're in the company of a man who's going to help us understand the surprise of contact with Bennu by OSIRIS-REx, the NASA mission that is still on its way back to Earth with a sample of Bennu. I welcome Professor Harold Connolly. He is the mission sample scientist for Bennu. He is also professor of geology at Rowan University in New Jersey. Harold, a very good evening to you. A carbonaceous asteroid is well understood. What wasn't understood is what would happen when you touched Bennu for a sample. Please describe that event and your surprise. Good evening to you.
That's right. Good evening to you. And it's exciting to be back with both of you again, discussing one of my favorite subjects, which is OSIRIS-REx. So if we go backwards in time to 2018, when we arrived at the asteroid Bennu, we had data before we arrived that suggested there were smooth ponds of fine centimeter, millimeter sized particles all over the surface of the asteroid. And of course, when we saw the pictures that came back first, there were boulders the size of 11 story buildings. So what a surprise and what a panic. Fast forward to the collection event in October of 2020, where we had to actually spend a lot more time observing the asteroid to find a suitable site to ingest 2 centimeter or smaller particles. We went down gently to the surface, and we were supposed to simply touch the surface, basically, and collect sample right off the surface, sort of like a kitty litter box and getting the stuff off the top rather than going down deeper. And what happened was, to our surprise, we penetrated right through, actually going about 48 centimeters underneath the surface of the asteroid, pushing material we hypothesized into the collector, as well as our gas firing and moving particles all over the place in a kind of plume. We did not expect that. We expected that the asteroid would give more resistance, that the particles would be more resistant to our pushing into the surface. It was not. They basically were just gently moved away.
The abstract for Science Magazine reporting what you just identified says the sampling event mobilized rocks and dust into a debris plume, excavating a 9 meter long elliptical crater. What does that tell you about Bennu and its construction, Harold?
It tells us that it's very loosely held together and that gravity is the dominant force holding this rubble pile asteroid together.
David?
They seem to use the word rubble a lot. So is rubble to be understood sort of the same as if we looked at a pile of rubble rocks or something by the side of the road or in a gravel pit or something like that, or is it different?
No, yeah, it's kind of similar. Just take that rubble pile next to the side of the road of all kinds of mixed rocks and put it in space. That's what it is.
Now we come to the mystery of this rubble pile, however. It's dangerous. Bennu is identified as a near-Earth object that has the capability in future to strike Earth. We know this is routine. We know it's routine through Earth's life. We just haven't experienced a really bad event for quite some time in memory. Maybe 1908, the strike in Siberia, but there were no people, to our knowledge, who were struck in that zone. There might have been. However, what we're looking at here is a rubble pile that might, the possibility of hitting Earth. What does this mean, then, discovering that it's loose enough? The metaphor is odd. It's as if it's all floating together. Does that make it more or less dangerous? What does that mean, Harold?
Well, there are two kinds of general structures of asteroids. Either one is a rubble pile, loose accumulation of different material or same material, and the other is one solid piece of rock. If it's one solid piece of rock, that's more of a danger, in my opinion, because it can come down in one location and cause sufficient energy dispersion and a major impact like an extinction event collision that happened 66 million years ago that killed the dinosaurs. If it's loosely bound together as a rubble pile, it may start to break up and you'll have, unfortunately, multiple impacts in multiple places, potentially, but small. So not really devastating in one big impact. Plus, we know something about carbonation material that tells us a lot of it is very friable. It may not all make it through the atmosphere.
David?
What kind of mass could the surface of Bennu support if you were going to land something on it, or could it support anything?
I don't know. That's a good question. So obviously, if you're going to try to push through it, that's the problem. If you're going to actually attempt to continue to move in towards the interior without meaning to do so, if you were to gently actually just kind of very gently land on the surface, maybe in a large surface area kind of vehicle, that might actually work very well.
We're talking about the concern about if you have to redirect Bennu. It seems very complicated, but let's go inside because you have a sample coming back to you. The Science magazine reports 250 grams stowed away for you. But it's from the interior of Bennu because the surface was said to be compromised by what? Cosmic rays and other activities. What do you expect from that material? What are you going to learn, Harold?
Well, we have material probably from the whole area. So right from the very surface of Bennu all the way through to where we stopped. Our collector is actually two collectors in one. It's the bulk collector that you saw where the plume came out and the gas fired and collected inside of what we call the Tag Sam head or touch and go sample acquisition mechanism. And on the very surface are little stainless steel pads. And those stainless steel pads pick up millimeter to sub-millimeter size particles. And we'll capture those, we know it, and scientists will be studying those for the exact reason you just brought up, looking at the damage from cosmic rays and solar radiation onto small grains on the surface, which we learned first, foremost, several decades ago when the Apollo mission landed on the moon.
And the inside material, the carbonaceous, is this a carbonaceous chondrite? Is that the kind of asteroid?
That's the analogy, correct. And the inside could be much fresher, meaning it has not been bombarded with cosmic rays and solar radiation for a long period of time because it's not exposed to the surface.
David?
Are the collector instruments still there? Could you collect additional samples over time?
No. So the actual head of the collector detached. Once it was in a sample return capsule or the SRC, it gets clamped into it, and then the actual rest of the arm is removed from that head and gets put back in a naught position, and the sample return capsule closes the top, and the actual sample is stowed inside. And actually, you can see the videos on NASA's web channel webpage, and you can see particles escaping as the sample head was the sample return capsule was closing. It's amazing. Totally amazing.
You're waiting for that sample to come back to Earth in September of 2023, but then OSIRIS-REx is not done. You've decided to send it to another threatening asteroid, Apophis, but you have no ability to collect sample from Apophis. You just identified. So what have you got that you can use on Apophis? Is it your cameras? Is it your ability to get close? Isn't Apophis a... Is that a binary? I can't remember, Harold.
Actually, I just drew a blank if Apophis is a binary or not, but I don't think so, no. I'm not actually part of the what we call the extended mission. That's the extended mission. And I do know what will be used is the camera system and the spectrometers and hopefully the LIDAR to actually get better resolution images up close of that asteroid.
Yeah, Apophis is also a big, scary asteroid. A very minimal chance of hitting, but then again... Once is enough. David, you have a question. We have about a minute.
Travel time, mission arrival time to Apophis.
I don't know. I don't remember. Sorry. I'm on help. I can put you in touch with somebody who's part of the mission, and they'll be able to help you if you like. So I apologize to your listeners for that. I just don't remember.
Well, let's come back to what you're hoping for. You've got an unlimited budget for 30 seconds. What do you want out of those 250 grams, Harold?
I want to know, I want insight into material that we haven't discovered yet on Earth from meteorites falling to Earth, and also new clues to the origin of life from Bennu.
In other words, you're looking for organic material, not something crawling around, but material that's consistent with the idea that asteroids might be part of spreading life. Is that
correct? Correct. You got it. Prebiotic compounds and new ways of looking at them. You got it.
Bennu is the asteroid. The sample is headed back to Harold Connolly, the mission sample scientist for NASA for mission OSIRIS-REx, which will then be on to part two, Apophis. He is Department of Geology professor at Roland University in New Jersey. David Livingston, Dr. Space. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.